Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. These days we have access to more information than ever before. How do we cut through all that and understand what is real and what is not? Bob Schieffer of CBS News has tried to answer that. You can join us. How do you separate fact from fiction, especially when we have a president calling so much out there fake news? We're at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Joining me from New York is Bob Schieffer, longtime CBS News journalist, now political contributor for the network, former host of CBS's Face the Nation, member of the Broadcasting Hall of Fame, named a living legend by the Library of Congress in 2009, author of many books. His latest, co-written with Andrew Schwartz, is Overload, Finding the Truth in Today's Deluge of News. You can read an excerpt at our website, onpointradio.org. Bob Schieffer, welcome to On Point. Great to have you here.
Proud to be here.
What's the problem you're attacking, sir?
Well, we are undergoing a technological revolution in communications that is having, I argue, as profound an effect on our culture as the invention of the printing press did on the people of that day. We talk about how the printing press improved literacy across Europe. We had the Reformation, the Counter-Reformation.
Yep.
But we also had 30 years of religious wars before we finally, in that day, reached equilibrium. We're right at the beginning of what we're involved in right now, and it's going to be a while before we work our way through it.
What's the face of the technology that's driving the revolution you're describing there?
Well, newspapers are in decline, and I was listening to Margaret Sullivan, and she's exactly right. We've lost 126 newspapers across the country in the last 12 years. One reporter in eight in the year 2004 lived in Washington, New York, or Los Angeles. That number is down to one in five now. So when you go out through the middle of this country, people are deluged, and most are getting their news from Facebook and other social media, but they're no longer getting any news from the places they used to depend on to form their opinions, and that is their local newspaper and even cable television, because now you're seeing cable cutting, so they don't even have access to that. Many people nearly everybody has a phone now, but they don't use it as a news gathering source. And if you're in a low economic group, you can't afford to pay for the news apps anyway. So in many places, you're simply getting no news.
And yet news, or the appearance of news, or fake news comes at people all the time. And at the same time, you've got a president who points to mainstream media and those cable channels, many of them, and says, in all caps, says, fake news, Bob. What about the impact of a president who labels so much of our news-gathering realm fake newsmakers?
Well, I wish he wouldn't do it, because, number one, it's wrong. But you're right. We are being overwhelmed with this stuff now. I mean, this awful shooting that happened in Las Vegas yesterday. Social media yesterday was filled with all kind of reports that the shooter was an anti-Trump liberal, that he loved my favorite
False.
Part, that he loved Rachel Maddow.
False, as far as we know.
That he had
we'll
converted
see.
To Islam. Yeah. And this was being spread all across Facebook and social media to the point that it kicked up on my phone, and I actually called CBS, and I said, did he convert to Islam? And they said, we have no information to that effect. And the FBI says no. But this is what's going on out there, and this is what's making it so difficult.
Do you have advice then for people, because you've got news organizations pulling back, or maybe people just aren't paying attention to them? They've got information or the form of news reporting flowing into their Facebook feed or past their eyes on Twitter. What's your guidance on how people can be well informed in the midst of all that?
Number one, buyer beware. Be aware that this stuff is out there. Depend on the sources that you have traditionally depended on for your news in the mainstream media. Because, you know, whatever else you want to say about us, we don't print something or broadcast something until we determine that it's true. And so you just have to be very discriminating in where you get your news. And the other part is never depend on simply one source on which to base your opinions, because you're going to get, and that's what's happened today. Now with the coming of these echo chamber channels and websites, you listen to one website or one channel and you get one set of facts. You listen to another and you get a different set of facts. And we're basing our opinions now on different data. It used to be based on common data. Now we're basing it differently. So it's no wonder that we're in the midst of this partisan divide. But, you know, the good news in this social revolution, media revolution, and what's happening here, I think the best story in journalism right now is Margaret Sullivan's newspaper, The Washington Post. They have totally reinvented themselves. NPR is doing much the same thing. The Washington Post is no longer a newspaper company. It's a media company, and it's putting its product out there on a variety of platforms, and they are doing it right. Now, the other part of it is Marty Baron, who's such a great newspaper editor, he also has an owner named Jeff Bezos. And Bezos has decided to let Baron run the newspaper. He wants to make it the best in the country, and they're doing a wonderful job there. The New York Times doing much the same thing. But the real problem is at that local level. And if we don't find some entity that does what we have come to expect from local newspapers, and that is keep an eye on the local government, we'll have corruption in this country at a level that we've never seen before.
Bob Schieffer's new book with Andrew Schwartz is Overload, Finding the Truth in Today's Deluge of News. He is with us from New York. Bob, we've got callers for you. Jim in Renfrew Valley, Kentucky. Jim, you're on the air with Bob Schieffer.
Hi, Tom. As I'm listening to this, I've worked in I've done newspaper work before. And there's a phenomenon I'd like to discuss, which is what I call the rumor Doppler shift effect, which is where somebody will repeat a story to somebody else, and they repeat it to another person, and the content gets distorted, shifted. And finally, when it goes through enough people, the shift is about 180 degrees from what the original content was.
And online, that can go through a lot of people in a hurry, Jim.
I know, but I miss one of the disciplines I miss about working for a print newspaper is that at one time there was a firewall between the editorial, the op-ed section in the front page. Now I see news as it should have been, according to somebody's opinion. And that's what scares me. The objectivity seems to have gone by the wayside.
Bob Schieffer, who's winning this battle between just raw opinion, which may or may not be informed, rubbish or deliberately fake news, and we know this can come from all kinds of angles inside and outside the country at this point, and traditionally reported, responsibly reported news? What's winning, Bob?
Well, I think that at the reputable news agencies, there is a wall. And the most important thing at these reputable agencies is they don't publish something unless they have checked it out and think it's true. But I agree with your caller. I mean, we're seeing now the blending of opinion sometimes with objective news. And, you know, I did Face the Nation for many years, and I did a commentary at the end of each broadcast. But it was also, there was a sign that ran across the bottom of the screen that said commentary, because I wanted to make people make sure they understood that this is what I thought about something. This was not necessarily just a who, what, when, where, and why part of the program. And I do think we need to do a better job of making sure people know when we're analyzing, that's what we're doing. We're not reporting just the straight facts.
But when you're talking about this technological revolution on a par with the days of the Gutenberg Bible and the first printing presses, every technology has its own impact. It creates a kind of reality around it, if we're not careful, or even if we are. I mean, where do you see the flood of information, right, wrong, good or bad, that inevitably comes with digital life. You know, can we have the old sense of dependable information, or do we just have to live in a new sort of free fire zone?
Well, this is the difference. It probably took in the days of the invention of the printing press, it took a week or so for news to get from one town to another. It took a long time to get it across the Atlantic Ocean and back again. Now, news goes around the world. I think it was Mark Twain who said, lies can go around the world and back while the truth is still putting its pants on. That is the difference now, is the lightning speed with which this stuff gets out there. And the trouble is, once it gets out there, it's hard to knock it down and remove it. I don't care how much fact-checking you do. You know, there still are a percentage of Americans who believe that Barack Obama was not born in the United States, that he's not really a U.S. citizen. Well, how much fact-checking do you have to do to knock that one down? And that's why Joe Nye up at Harvard at the Kennedy School says you can't just answer each lie when it's coming. This stuff is pouring out at fire hydrant-like force. You have to make sure people understand beforehand and inoculate them. Look, there's going to be stuff out there that is simply not true, that people are putting it out there for reasons, whatever they may be. But be aware of this and don't take everything at face value, especially when it pops up on the web.
Bob Schieffer's new book is Overload. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Silas in Atlanta, Georgia, you're on with Bob. Thanks for calling, Silas.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm here. I want to tell you first woke up all, this morning, yeah, so that's a good start.
First of all, well, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you're still doing the work you're doing. I'm 63 years old. I've been listening to you for a long time, and I appreciate all the efforts and good work you put into what you do.
Thank you,
sir.
Let
me first say, I agree with you on all your points about this garbage that's running around, and I believe that in this data-driven society, we have to expand our understanding of what the information is and give it a new title beyond simply using it, choosing the word fact. What we need to have out here is quantifiable data, data that we can trace back to a source that can be verified and establish that this is exactly what this is.
Silas, you're saying the word fact is no longer sufficient? I mean, why not? Can we not agree that there are things that are factual?
Well, there are things that are factual, but more importantly, what we need to have is quantifiable data that backs it up. Now, I say that because the word fact certainly does imply that it is true and whole, but depending on who spins the fact, it may not be truly quantifiable data that supports it. And you and I see that all too often.
I take your point, though. I wonder if everything is quantifiable. But Bob, how about it, the sort of slipperiness of the idea of facts themselves when there's so much interpretation that goes on immediately?
Well, facts are facts, and we have to be prepared when we publish or broadcast something to explain how we got that information. I think one of the interesting things that's happening, and you're seeing this in the big newspapers now, they no longer just say a source said. It's almost hilarious wondering how many sources they're going to cite. Sometimes the Washington Post will say, according to 9 sources in the administration. And I think they're driving at just what our listener is talking about, and I think that that's really helpful because, you know, especially in this White House, I used to tell people that the difference in covering the White House and covering Capitol Hill, which is still my favorite beat, Capitol Hill, I said at the White House they all work for the same person. But when you get up to Capitol Hill, they're all independent contractors, and that's how you get news. Well, that's no longer quite true, because in the White House now you have all these various factions. So when a reporter over there says, well, according to 7 sources, he may have talked to 15 and 3 of them may have given him a different answer than what the other 7 sources did. But I just think we have to do our best to, number one, be accurate and be prepared to back up whatever we say when we broadcast it or publish it.
What is the impact of having a president who repeatedly and with a heavy hand goes after news organizations as producing fake news?
Well, I don't think it's helpful. And, you know, whatever you think of this president or any other president, when the president speaks, that is going to have a certain impact. And I just don't think it helps at all.
Who wins in this? Do you see the kind of evolution going on in the news world that brings that out on top when you've got Russian trolls and everything else, you know, sort of going after the news flow, trying to massage it, change people's opinion?
There's no question that the Russians are heavily involved in this. And it's not just in this country. A woman named Heather Conley at the think tank CSIS wrote a fascinating study called The Russian Playbook, where she goes through and analyzes across Central Europe what the Russians have been doing there. The Russians don't drive their tanks across the borders anymore. They found a cheaper and better way to do it. They use cyber. They bribe the local politicians. They make sweetheart deals with the oligarchs in these various countries. They loan them money. And then they have an unrelenting attack on the news media and other institutions, mainly to just try to destroy their credibility. Joe Nye up at Harvard said that there's no question that the Russians were meddling in our elections because they were trying to, you know, just destroy credibility. And he said, and they got Trump as a bonus.
Bob Schieffer's new book is Overload, Finding the Truth in Today's Deluge of News. Bob Schieffer, terrific to have you with us. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.